Is hell real? My guest says he went there. He reports what he saw on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I can't wait till you meet my guest. It's Ronald Reagan, and he literally went to hell. Ron Reagan, you really must have get a lot of ribbing about the name identification.
I certainly do, Sid.
Now, what type of childhood did you have? You told me there was one experience about a lamb.
Yes.
A lamb?
Yes. When I was 9 years old, lived in the mountains of eastern Tennessee, and very poor. My father was an alcoholic, and we had very little to play with as children. But there was a neighbor that had given me a baby lamb. Actually, I walked 2 miles to catch the school bus, and coming through her yard one afternoon, she gave me this lamb, and it became my friend, and actually got to where it would wait on me in the pasture field and the afternoons when I'd come in from school. And a tragic thing happened.
What's that?
At 9 years old. My dad was working on an automobile one afternoon, and he was drunk as usual, cursing. When I came in, I really didn't want to get hit or cursed.
Was he abusive?
Did he hit you much? Yes, very abusive. The alcohol just controlled his life. But I tried to bypass him, to walk around him to get to the house. But I saw my lamb laying on the ground beside the car. And I walked up to see what was wrong. And it was covered with red blood on the white wool. And he had taken a tire iron and stabbed the lamb and just in a drunken rage killed it. So at 9 years old, I just began to scream and became totally rebellious and was embarking from that point on a terrible, terrible lifestyle.
Out of curiosity, were you kind of fearless or were you a timid sort of person?
Early on, I was timid. Actually, I was the oldest of 3 children, but we were all verbally abused, physically abused, and saw our mother beat constantly. So I was timid in that. But after the experience with a lamb, hatred possessed my life. And from that point on, I became a very violent child and grew into a very violent adult.
Out of curiosity, did history repeat? Did you become an alcoholic?
Oh, yes. As much as I hated my father, I became just like him.
Just out of curiosity, when you were real young, did you say to yourself, I'll never be like him?
Oh, yes. Constantly. Told my mother that, told my brother and sister that, I'll never be like Dad.
Isn't that amazing that what you hate, you become?
Yes.
It's like a spiritual law.
Yes.
So you got married at a young age.
Oh, yes, 17 years old.
How old was your wife?
15.
That's young. And I just knowing your background, that must not have been much of a marriage.
Oh, no, no. Actually, I brought her into a lifestyle even as teenagers. I was already a school dropout, had done time in a reform school, and was an habitual juvenile delinquent. The police called me.
Actually, your future was zero.
Yes.
From what I'm hearing right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Now, there was one time that you really got into a rage in a convenience store. Tell me about that.
Yes. Actually, I was 25 at that time, and my son was 5 years old. He was with me. And I had such an anger
problem. Out of curiosity, were you brutalizing your son verbally or physically as a child like you were?
Probably verbally. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was such an alcoholic by this time. The reason my son was with me, my wife wanted him with me so I wouldn't get off on another binge and get in jail.
So what happened in this convenience store?
I started in the store in a gentleman was coming out, and he pushed on the door, and I pushed on it, but that's all it took with me. I just hit him, busted his head.
Did you just like have uncontrollable rage?
Uncontrollable rage at anyone that opposed me or that represented authority.
I mean, he just wanted to come in or go out of the door, and you just hauled off and you broke his head, did you say?
Yes, just busted him in the face, knocked him down right in the middle of the store. And this was in the early 70s, and the Cokes and Pepsis and all were still in glass. Mm-hmm. And he fell in a case of large Cokes, and they burst all over. And he got up with a big 16-ounce broken bottle and proceeded to stab and cut me up severely.
Mm. How bad?
Actually, severed my left arm with the exception of the bone. The biceps, the ligaments, the arteries were all severed.
Were you unconscious when this happened? Or did you realize what was going on?
The rage, Sid, was so intense that even though every time my heart would beat, blood would pump out across the floor.
Didn't just realize you were dying?
No, didn't enter my mind. Just
did
rage.
Did you care? Did you care? If you
could have cared less.
Was there anything worth living for?
Nothing. I didn't know what love was, my wife, my children, life in general. Actually had a death wish, I suppose.
But you had your young son there. Weren't you concerned about him?
Yes, not really. I was such a drunkard and a drug addict that nothing mattered to me.
So you're laying there, literally dying from what I'm hearing, right?
Actually, I kept trying to fight, and he kept cutting and stabbing every time I'd try to hit him. And I was just insane.
What happened next?
The manager of the store said, if you don't get to the hospital, you'll die within minutes. And my little son's hysterical. He sees all this. He's just hysterical. Mm. But the manager of this convenience store drove me to the hospital. And 2 miles to the hospital, but the blood filled the floorboard of the car. By the time we reached the emergency room, I was almost unconscious. Could hear voices, but really couldn't focus.
Wasn't there any fear of death within you while this was going on?
No, none. My life had been filled with pain and abuse, and up to this point, I had rode with a outlaw biker gang, had been in reform schools and jails, and had been cut numerous times. I actually got high on pain, I think, Sid. My life was just a bundle of disaster.
Well, this ambulance driver must have known that you were hanging on for life, ready to die, and he said something very strange.
Yes. Actually, when they took me in the emergency room, I could hear their voices saying, we can't help him. We have to transport him to another hospital. And they put me in the back of an ambulance, and my wife had got there by that time and got in the ambulance with me. But a young paramedic looked into my face, and I heard him say these words, sir, you need Jesus. Call on Jesus.
Did you?
I didn't know Jesus.
Did you know anything about him?
No.
Had you ever read the Bible?
No. Matter of fact, I cursed him. I cursed the paramedic and Jesus. I didn't know what he meant. It intimidated me.
Hold that thought. You're going to find out that Ronald Reagan really went to a literal hell. Don't go away.
Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Ronald Reagan, who was slashed in a fight in a convenience store. His arms were, blood was gushing out, he was dying. And then the ambulance medic, he was on his way to the hospital, recognized he was dying and said, do you know Jesus? Do you know what he did? He started cursing this man, literally cursing him. He knew nothing about Jesus. He had never read the Bible. And the last thing he wanted to do was hear about him. And then smoke, literal smoke, Ron.
Yes.
Started, tell me about it.
Yes. I thought the ambulance had exploded, had caught on fire. And the smoke filled it. the first impression was I smell something burning, terrible, like flesh, like burning flesh. And I'm moving. I sense myself moving through this smoke and traveling. And I'm just moving at a tremendous rate of speed. And coming out of that smoke, I'm looking downward into what appeared to be a volcanic opening, or looking down into a lake of burning fire. And then I'm dropping down into this place.
So you literally left your body,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Yes.
Your spirit man left your body and started dropping down?
Yes.
That's not a good thing to happen.
I didn't know what was happening. I had been cursing the paramedic. I cursed his Jesus. And then bang, this smoke and smell, and I'm moving. But I look down into these flames, Sid, and there's a multitude of people in this place. They're burning, they're screaming, they're crying out, but they're not burning up. They're just in a lake of fire, and they're not burning up.
Had you ever read anything about hell?
No.
Any description? You never read the Bible?
No. I knew nothing. Actually, nothing in my life had frightened me since I was 9 years old. But this had my attention. I didn't understand it. And I could see these people burning, and I'm going down into this place. But that wasn't the worst part. I began to see some of the faces close up, and I recognized them. I knew some of them.
These people were literally suffering?
Oh, yes. Terrible, terrible agony. But the physical pain didn't seem to be as bad as the emotional pain of hopelessness and helplessness and aloneness. But when I looked into the faces of some that I knew, some had died in robbery attempts, shot to death while robbing liquor stores. Others had died of drug overdoses. Mm. Others had died drunk in automobile accidents. And I recognized them. And they're screaming at me, calling my name out, saying, go back, don't come to this place. There's no way out. There's no escape. So I was overwhelmed at this, and I didn't realize what I was seeing. So I looked at this, and I could feel the pain and the anguish and smell and the torment. And I'm wondering, I thought I had been through the worst thing that I could in life. But this is something beyond anything I've ever imagined. And I just couldn't understand it. I was completely in confusion at that moment to explain what I was seeing.
Tell me again what your friend said to you.
They said, don't come to this place. There is no escape. There is no way out. Go back. Don't come here. If you come here, you can never leave.
So what happened next?
Like a jolt. And I looked, and I was looking into the face of my wife at the hospital. And she looked at me and she said, you've been in surgery all night. There's hundreds of stitches in your body. They didn't have to amputate the arm. You're going to live. But I wasn't interested in my wife or the hospital room I was in. All I could see is where I had just been. I could still smell it. I could still hear it. I could still sense the agony of that place. And
were you fearful of that?
Yes.
But you had never been afraid of anything, life, death, nothing.
Nothing.
You're a macho man.
Shot, cut, beat. People tried to make me cry, see? They tried to beat me. They strapped me down in the penal institutions as a child and tried to make me cry, but they couldn't because my heart was so hardened. But this literally had me in turmoil, in a frenzy. But I didn't want the light off after that. After I got out of the hospital, I never wanted to be in the dark.
This was very real to you.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm a nervous wreck. Immediately, I'm trying to get drunk. I'm trying to get stoned. I'm trying to get high to try to block this out. But it won't work. I can't get drunk. I can't get high. All I'm seeing is...
What do you mean you can't? Did you actually drink liquor and you quit?
Yes. 190 proof pure grain alcohol and handfuls of RJS Benzedrine.
How come?
I don't know. It's supernatural. It was a supernatural thing.
So, How did you happen to wander in a church? That's the last thing you'd, I mean, you were cursing Jesus last time I heard.
This was the summer of 72 when this happened. A few months later, I'm still a man in misery, and I can't rest. I can't get high. I can't get drunk. I come home at 2 o'clock in the morning, the lights on in the bedroom, my wife sitting up in bed, and when I walk in, her face is shining brighter than the light on the ceiling.
And she didn't have a whole lot to have a bright, shiny face over.
No, she didn't.
I mean, married to you.
Right. She had been abused. I had verbally and physically abused her and left her alone, which I'm very sorry of now, but that's the facts. But she looked up at me and she said, Ronnie, tonight Jesus Christ came into my heart. Tonight Jesus saved me. And there's that name again. I didn't realize what it meant, but the wrinkles around her eyes that I had put there from worry and aloneness had disappeared. And she's glowing and she's smiling and she says, Jesus came into my life tonight at a prayer meeting. So I'm dumbfounded, but I know something's different. And she said, would you go to church with me? And I thought for a second, I thought, I've tried everything. What have I got to lose?
I can't imagine that macho man going to church. You really did, Ron.
I did.
So how was it?
Well, I didn't know how to act. I thought church was a club like the Lions Club or a Rooting Club. I didn't know how to act. I sat in the back with my wife. I knew nothing about the Bible. I didn't know what the man was going to say or do. But he opened the Bible and he began to read. No scripture would have meant anything to me, but he said, I'm reading John 1:29. That meant nothing to me.
I'll tell you what is going to mean something. We've got to take a break right now. When we come back, you're going to, let me tell you something. Some of you have perhaps never cried before. You're going to start crying for joy. We'll be right back after this. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Ron Reagan. Ron was a jerk, an alcoholic, abused his wife, abused his children, just a waste in society. And had experience. He'd never been to church, he'd never read the Bible, he knew nothing about God, Jesus Christ, he would curse, but he didn't even know why. But an experience where he literally went to hell, and it changed his life. His wife had an experience with God. She asked him to go. He went. Didn't mean a thing to him. He didn't know how to act. He'd never been in a church before. But the pastor read a scripture that hit him like a bolt of lightning. What did he say?
He said, I'm reading John 1:29. And that meant nothing to me, Sid. But when he began to read, he said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And immediately, when he said lamb, he had my attention because I went back to my lamb as a 9-year-old child that my drunken father had killed and where I became so rebellious. And I'm wondering, what is he talking about, a lamb? And he said, Jesus Christ is God's sacrificial lamb. He's your friend. He's your Savior. He's Messiah. And I'm beginning to feel things that I haven't felt since I'm 9 years old. And he said, if you will call out on him, he will change your life and redeem you from destruction. And he said, would anyone like to come forward? And I thought, I've got to get out of here. And I actually stood to my feet and tried to leave, but I could not leave. A force brought me toward the front of that building.
Listen. You're a man that no one forces to stay. You're saying there was something stronger than you that forced you to stay there?
Yes, yes. There were powers at work greater than anything I had ever known, anything I had ever experienced. And people came to me and they began to try to help me. They said, this is the sinner's prayer and this is the Roman road. And I didn't understand that. That had no meaning to me. But I began to cry. For the first time since I was 9 years old, I began to shed tears.
And 9 years old was when your lamb...
Lamb was killed.
In such a brutal way.
Yes. And I cried out, God, if you're real, and if you exist, please kill me or cure me. I don't want to live. I'm not a father. I'm not a husband. I can't hold a job. Please kill me or cure me. At that moment, everything in my life changed. The proper mindset returned to me. Love filled my life. And I wept and I cried and I embraced my wife and my children. And I'm clean. I'm clean. There's no condemnation. There's no fear that had been hounding me for months.
What about drugs? What about alcohol?
No withdrawal whatsoever. No withdrawal from the drugs, no withdrawal from the alcohol. I was completely delivered.
Now, had you graduated from high school?
No, no.
You were a high school dropout.
I actually didn't even go to high school, eighth grade.
Eighth grade. How many degrees do you have now?
Now I have a bachelor's degree in education and a master's degree in theology.
Two advanced college degrees.
Yes.
How about your marriage?
35 years this Sunday. The same woman. Three children, four grandchildren. Just happy in my heart.
You almost missed it.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you had missed it, do you believe you would have been in hell?
Now understanding what hell is, I know I would have been in hell.
You think about some of those friends of yours that were there.
Yes. And my heart is saddened to think of them. But I know what I saw, and I know God's mercy that gave me an opportunity. And I'm grateful, I'm thankful to be here with you today.
You have found such power in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That you have recently prayed for people. Tell me what's happened.
Yes. 3 months ago in Pikeville, Tennessee, a family brings a six-month-old child, Colin Presley, complete cerebral palsy, can't hold the head up on its body, just flopping around. After prayer and anointing with oil, the child is totally, instantly healed from cerebral palsy.
Instantly? Before your eyes? Did you see this happen?
Yes, yes.
What's it feel like to see a little child that's crippled become whole?
Joy unspeakable and full of glory. None can explain it. To God be the glory.
Tell me about someone else that was healed.
Yes. 2 months ago in Lexington, Tennessee, a teenager with 17 planter's warts on his feet. He can't walk, can't go to school. He comes forward, we pray for him, and every one of those warts leave. He's scheduled for surgery the next day, but God removes them instantly and they're gone.
When things like that happen instantly, what do you feel like?
My life is only spared to be a vessel of God. I would have been in hell. What time I have on this earth is to heal the sick, set the captives free, speak the name of Jesus in deliverance to whosoever.
And if someone said to you, Ron Reagan, you imagined that hell thing, you were hallucinating, what would you say?
I was there. You can't argue with experience. Doesn't matter how educated. I've sat down with psychologists and psychiatrists and theologians, and I have spoken with them, and I have talked with them. I know where I was at, and I know it was the mercy of God that delivered me.
And it is the mercy of God. It is literally the mercy of God that has you watching us right now, because hell is real. Heaven is real. God is real. Jesus is real.
Yes.
But you settle for cheap religion. You settle for ritual and tradition. God is bigger than your ritual. God is bigger than your tradition. God is bigger than your religion. You can know Him, but your sins are separating you from your God. If you will repent, tell God you are sorry and you're going to turn from your sin with His help, and believe that Jesus has washed every one of your sins away. And then with your mouth say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, come live inside of me. And I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone whose heart is after God right now would receive the confirmation of the Holy Spirit upon you right now. Be filled with the Spirit of the living God in Jesus' name, and a back was healed instantly. Be free. Be free. You know the truth. The truth has set you free.